This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, and MLB Manager 2018. Out of the Park Baseball 19, available today from Steam, from Origin, or Origin Access if you're a subscriber, and of course directly from us at OOTPdevelopments.com, the critically acclaimed sports strategy game that has won numerous awards. And of course, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, officially licensed by the NHL, also available on Steam or directly from us at OOTPdevelopments.com, and MLB Manager 2018, available for Apple's iOS and for the Android. Get them today, the best sports strategy games you can play. And check us out. Out of the Park Developments now live streams 3 days a week. Mondays with TJ, Tuesdays with Chris, and Wednesdays with Jeff and Adam. Check out Out of the Park Baseball 19 on Monday nights, Out of the Park Baseball 19 on Tuesday nights, and Franchise Hockey Manager 4 on Wednesday nights over on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/OOTPDevelopments. And, of course, everything is backed up and archived to our YouTube page. You can check them all out. Out of the Park Baseball 19, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, MLB Manager 2018. Check them out. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Press Row Podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening. I'm your host this week, Rich Grisham. Brian Wiedei is not with us. He is suspended, and he knows what he did. But that's good, because I have, once again, one of my absolute favorite people, the editor-in-chief of US Gamer and great friend of the pod, Kat Bailey. Kat, how are you? It's great to have you back.
I see that Roger Goodell got to Brian Wiedei again.
Yes, he did. But, you know, he's got a history, right? So you have to look at the whole
spectrum.
Well,
you got to watch out for that NFL commissioner.
That's right.
He'll suspend you in a drop of a hat.
That is very right. How are you, Kat? It's great to have you back.
I'm good. I just moved, and I don't know. It's the dead of summer. I have the World Cup to keep me going,
yes.
I suppose. But the Minnesota Twins are hot garbage, so I don't really have baseball.
Okay.
My MLS team is hot garbage.
Ooh,
EPL
okay.
is done. I'm waiting for training camp.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I'm kind of waiting for NFL training camp to get started so I can have something to look for in the World Cup.
But do you actually like training camp? Like, to me, training camp, I'm glad that it's happening, but I don't want to know anything. To me, there's nothing good that comes from training camp. There's only bad. There's only injuries. I'm the kind of person who wants to go right to opening day. Give me the game. Let's go. To me, training camp is something I don't enjoy following as a fan.
I generally agree with you. I think that's more of a thing with preseason. I freaking hate preseason and wish it would be abolished, or at least cut down to 2 games. But I like training camp in the sense of the first day that it's happening, suddenly there's a new flood of news, and most of it is totally meaningless. It's just, oh, player says this, or there is this controversy, or how are these players doing in the positional battles? And there aren't a lot of positional battles with my team this year. But I would like to know how some of the like undrafted free agents are doing. You can often start to get a clue as to which players might actually be good. The first time I ever heard of Adam Thielen, for example, was in training camp. So that's when you get excited about the new guys, the fresh faces who could end up surprising you.
Right. Well, and you know, I wasn't going to mention anything, but since we are talking NFL, there is the added sort of excitement you get when your team is the champ. And in fact, just today at the office, I walked by one of the TVs, and I don't think training camp has opened yet, right? It hasn't yet, has it? July 5th. But there was like, you know, there was an Eagles practice. You know, it was like the local Comcast Sportsnet Philly just was talking about something with the Eagles, but they were showing footage from what looked like a training camp. It might have been the OTAs recently or whatever. But even just then, I like stopped. I glanced up. I was like, oh, yeah, right. They're the champs, and they're going into training camp. So that's new. That's different.
Yeah, nothing to look forward to anymore, Rich.
No,
you've ascended the mountain.
No, that's it. But to me now, everything that comes after is just so much gravy. That's the thing. It's just, I'm a Mets fan, Kat. You talk about the Twins being hot garbage. The Mets are a catastrophe in every sense as a baseball organization from the very top to the very bottom. But in 1986, when I was a kid, but I was not a kid, I was a teenager, watching that team win the World Series, that stuck with me forever. Like, yes, I still get incredibly frustrated, and it's still depressing, generally speaking, to be a Mets fan. But they got that championship, and everything else after that to me is not meaningless, because it means everything, because I love it. But it's just different. It's just different. And like, so anyway.
It's the same with the Devils, right?
I was just going to say that.
You've seen all those teams win
three Stanley Cups.
You saw them win all those Stanley Cups and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're a champion, Rich. All your teams are champions.
Yeah, except my teams are champions.
But
I don't get to be a champion myself, you know, through any sort of connection there. But my teams, most of them
are. You're a champion in my heart, Rich.
Well, thank you, Kat. Thank you, Kat. You want to talk a little Everton? You want to talk a little Premier League? I mean, I want to talk to you about the World Cup, and what better situation.
Let's talk about the World Cup. I don't want to talk about my garbage EPL thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so, the World Cup's been amazing, hasn't it? Have you been watching it?
As much as possible. We are recording this on Thursday, July 5th. So this will go out into the world on Friday, July 6th, at which point most people listening, the first two games, there's two quarterfinal games tomorrow, Friday, right? And the other two are Saturday. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, half will be done and half won't be if you listen to this the day it comes out, which many of you do. So I love the World Cup. Love it. And I love it for very different reasons than I originally loved it. Very different reasons. I'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm with you. I've been watching the World Cup as much as possible. I'm fascinated by it. It's such an interesting juxtaposition to know more about the players and watching them play on their international clubs versus their league clubs. Lots of stuff, but I'm a huge fan of the World Cup. Love it every minute.
Yeah, 4 years ago when I watched the World Cup, I did not know nearly as much about soccer as I do now. And it's been, and I remember back in 2014 thinking that the World Cup was kind of dragging on a little bit. And maybe that iteration was, because I remember that there were some teams that were extremely boring, like Greece. Greece was extremely boring 4 years ago. But this time, even though America's not into it, there are so many good and interesting teams.
Yes.
And good and interesting storylines.
Yes.
I was rooting for Japan, and Japan might be one of the stories of the World Cup. Oh my God, they were so much fun. I so wanted them to beat Belgium. When they went up 2-0, I was like, oh my God.
I thought that was it.
I am witnessing. This was it. This is the greatest Japan. This is going to be the greatest Japanese victory in soccer ever in their history.
Yes.
And they lost in the most heartbreaking of fashions. Yes. But you know what? Keisuke Honda's free kick. That should have been a goal.
Yes.
The fact that they stopped that, it was beautiful. Beautiful, one of the best free kicks I've ever seen. And it's going right into the corner, and somehow they stop it. And then that perfect counterattack where they drove the dagger into Japan's heart.
Yep.
Game of the tournament.
Yep. And there's a lot of Everton connections on Belgium. Roberto Martinez was the manager of Everton when I really first started to Moyes. I was there for the last couple of years of Moyes. But Martinez was the first time since I had really been paying attention that there had been a change in manager. And so he was the manager of Everton for at least 3 years, maybe four. And obviously the great Romelu Lukaku, my favorite player ever. The first and still to this day only Premier League match I ever attended.
Oh, you're still a Lukaku fan.
Absolutely. Love him. So my first Premier League match I ever attended was West Bromwich and Southampton. Both of whom I think are now relegated, but they were in, maybe Southampton isn't. I know West Brom.
No, Southampton is still in.
Oh, good, because I know West Brom did get relegated this year. The first and only one.
Press F for pay respects.
There you go, yes. And it was West Brom and Southampton, and Lukaku came on in like the 60th minute, and I was, as soon as he came on, I'm like, whoa, who is that dude? And the guy who I was there attending the match with said, oh, yeah, he's on loan from Chelsea. That's Romelu Lukaku. He was a foot taller than everybody else on the field. Like, it was just amazing. You know, we had pretty good seats, but it was so interesting watching a man of his size and speed enter a game where no one of his size and speed had been playing before, and how he changed it. So I instantly became a fan. Then he went to Everton. I was just over the moon. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. This is the dude that I was like, wow, I think he's good. He is good. I even knew that even when I knew nothing about soccer. I'm obviously sad that he went to Manchester United. I regularly give Corey Andrus a hard time about it because he's such a shameful, shameless Manchester United fan, and he just wants Manchester United to write big checks for every great player. More on that later. But anyway, I understand he wants to go to Man U. He wants to play Champions League. He wants to make the most money. God bless him. You know, he had some great years for Everton. So anyway, a lot of Belgium ties for me in that match too. Lots of them. What a match.
So, okay, here are my predictions for the World Cup. I predict that England will lose to Sweden.
I don't like that.
It is the most England thing. Yes. It is the most England results that can possibly happen.
That part I agree with, but I don't think it's going to happen.
After that stirring emotional win on penalties, they're to lose to Sweden. We'll see if I'm proven wrong when this podcast goes live.
I hope you
will. The other prediction that I'm going to make... I predict that it will be, I'm putting the little card to my head, I think France will win the World Cup.
You know, I feel like such an idiot because a couple of podcasts ago, I was talking about France. And I was talking about it, Kat, actually, in relation to our World Cup that we played, our FIFA World Cup. And our great friend Adrian Tadzaniga was France. And he's always talking about France. I'm like... I know Griezmann's on France, but I'm not really sure who else is. And then it turns out that they've got Mbappe,
all
and they've got Pogba, and they've got all of the great players. I was like, oh,
all of the players.
When did that happen?
No, let's be honest. Pogba is overrated. He's not very good.
I don't know. People are going to fight you on that.
Mbappe.
Oh.
Mbappe is the player of the tournament.
Wow.
That guy is going to win the Cup for tournament for France.
That breakaway was insane.
He's amazing. Yeah, no, like he single-handedly beat Argentina. He just schooled them. Yeah, it was amazing. Wow. And Argentina stinks anyway. I mean, they got Pablo Zabaleta on their back line. If you're starting Pablo Zabaleta, you're kind of desperate. By the way, West Ham starts Pablo Zabaleta, so that's why I say
I was going to say that's a pretty specific reference, and then you nailed exactly why you said it. Good stuff. So, yeah, I'm all in on the World Cup. And speaking of being all in the World Cup, I've been playing a ton of World Cup. FIFA, have you played much of it other than our World Cup that we did?
Well, I just set up my gaming room, to be perfectly honest. So I've been playing a lot of Madden Closed Beta, which I'm not allowed to talk about, unfortunately.
That's brutal.
Unfortunate. I wish they would let me talk about it. Come on, EA, let me talk about it.
They all listen to the show, all of them. So it's not like you can get in any trouble. Oh, right. Sorry. Oh, well.
Yes. and as for FIFA, I've been mostly playing it through the tournament that you were just describing, which, oh, my God, that was so much fun.
The
I was
best.
Playing as Japan. Japan was criminally underrated in that in 2018 FIFA World Cup, as we saw in the actual tournament. In the game, they're hot garbage. In the actual tournament, they were amazing and so much fun. But I managed to squeak out of my group, and then I lost to AC, and AC would be Aussie Chris, who is a mutual friend of ours.
Yep.
And AC, it was two of the most BS goals I've ever seen. Like, I got a BS red card, the whole nine yards. The whole game was against me. I was so pissed at the end. And I ended up losing, I think, 2-1. I got one of the goals back after getting the red card, but I wasn't able to get the second back and force extra time. I was way mad, but there was no way I was winning that because Japan was so bad. As soon as I picked Japan, and then I saw everybody was playing as Brazil and Spain and Argentina and Spain and England, I immediately regretted my choice.
Well, I played as Germany, but, you know, it was supposed to be handicapped. Well, no, it was handicapped. For example, I got out of my group, Kat, and I was very proud of myself for that because I am not a traditionally excellent FIFA player. In fact, only over the last 3 years have I spent a significant amount of time playing soccer games. And over the last 2 years, I played an extraordinary amount of soccer, certainly for me. Because I just play Pro Evo all year round. But now I'm playing Pro Evo and FIFA all year round. In that, I got out of my group. But then my reward for getting out of my group was facing the evil Jeremy Stein, who is a
brutal
savant who had South Korea and I had Germany, and I was completely overmatched. I think I actually only lost.
We saw South Korea beat Germany. It was a harbinger of things to come.
It sure was. It sure was. And I held my own. I think I even scored. But
can I just rant about Germany?
Yeah.
So before the tournament, the real Germany. Before the tournament began, I'm like going, oh, I mean, Germany is amazing, and they got an even stronger team than before. But they left Sané at home, and that was a terrible decision. Why would you do that? One of their best young players, and apparently he was causing some trouble in training camp. Didn't matter. He should have been their Mbappe. He should have saved them. He should have been the man. He was not the man. He was not.
Yeah,
they left him at home.
The fact that
they Landon Donovan'd him.
They did.
And so they were doomed.
Yeah, I got Germany out of that round, unlike the real Germany, but then Jeremy defeated me. But I've also played.
Yeah, you outperformed the real Germany. Good job.
I did. You know what? I just sort of realized that. I'm proud of myself.
Just pat yourself on the back, my friend. And then you lost to South Korea, as history ordains.
That's right. Exactly right. You know what? There was a lot more real going on than I realized at the time. I've also played a bunch of my own World Cups. I fired up, a single-player World Cup as, I think, Germany to start, as a matter of fact, because I was sort of using it. That's when I was playing it in parallel to our tournament, so I could sort of get used to Germany. And I lost in the quarters. And then I did it as England, and I lost in the quarters. And then I did one as Spain, and I made it all the way to the final, but I lost on penalty kicks. Which I'm not good at penalty kicks. So it's, that was an unfortunate situation. And then I started up.
So
go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say that I played as Japan and England and won the World Cup with both of them.
Nice.
And then I was like, oh, that was fun. And then I didn't have any particular reason to play 2018 FIFA World Cup again, because the Ultimate Team stuff, like, you're able to build up your team, a super team, which is possibly by design. It almost feels like it's a taster for the Ultimate Team that's going to come out in FIFA 2019. But it's a tidy little piece of free DLC. I think the best I've gotten out of it is that tournament that we ended up doing, though. And now we're having season 2 of League 4, and I can't wait.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I've taken Everton to just continue the whole mediocrity train.
Why would you do that?
Well,
Rich, why would you do that, man?
Well, because we're handicapped. So
Everton's not that good.
I can't pick
Everton is, in fact, pretty bad.
Yeah, I know that. I am certainly aware of that. They're bad and they're getting older, which is a tough
combination. I picked West Ham, who are also very bad and arguably worse. But... But you had a choice. Didn't you have better teams you could pick?
Not really, because they're actually were technically a half a star over what I was allotted with my handicap. So I'm like, hey, even though they're technically, a little better than I'm supposed to have, can I have Everton anyway? So I don't know. It's a short season. Everybody plays twice. It's not like this is a long-term commitment. So I'm going to do it. They're my club, and I at least know some of the players, and I'll lose more often than not. But my goal is to finish in the top half of the league, and I think I can do that. I think
okay.
I can do that.
So I'm looking ahead to next year's sports releases. And so I'm going to try an experiment when Madden comes in. I'm going to start a new career mode. Okay. And I am going to play it as a simulation. I'm not going to control my team. I'm just going to let it go and see what the results are. And I'm going to use the fast forward, the play the moments to let that happen. And I want to see how I feel about that. I'm going to let the computer decide the results, because and this is me being modest, I am too good at Madden now.
As a longtime player of you, I can understand exactly where you're coming from, because you're right.
I'm not going to win in a freaking esports tournament. I'm not as good as the top mutt people, whatever. But I am good enough to win consistently on all Madden. And at that point, it just doesn't feel real to me anymore, because I'm always going to win no matter who I have. So I want to just do the roster management and see how that goes. And the impetus is that, of that was when I was in Morocco, I downloaded Football Manager Mobile, which is one of three versions of Football Manager for the iPad.
That is true.
And I started to play it. I got completely addicted to it. Like, hopelessly, insanely, completely lost down the rabbit hole, addicted. I was playing as West Ham. I played for 10 solid seasons in that game. And it's amazing because even though compared to regular Football Manager, it's simple, it gives me everything I've always wanted in the other simulation modes, the other career modes. It constantly praises me and tells me how amazing I am. It gives me a real sense of progress. And like I got it to a certain point where I had been to the Champions League enough that suddenly like a rich Saudi investor was injecting money into my club. And then they decided to build a 100,000 seat stadium and name it in my honor. And finally, they just said, you know what? You're so amazing. We're giving you an ownership stake. You're on the board. You can be here as long as you want. And I'm just like, this is amazing. I'm like the world class greatest coach in the history of the universe. I have all of these trophies from all of these things. It was such a fun experience. And a lot of that was to do with the fact that I would hit play and I would watch the little dot men, because I call them dot men because they're little dots. I would watch them running around, kicking the soccer ball around. And I would think to myself, I would feel legitimate tension. And the last season that I played, I got to the my team got to the Champions League, had an amazing season. I had won the league. I had won both of the domestic tournaments, but I really just wanted that Champions League. And my West Ham dot men were playing against Manchester United, and it came down to penalties. And I was actually like sweating there, sitting there watching my team come up and take the kicks. These kids that I had groomed and found and scouted all by myself, one by one. And they did it, and I had won the Champions League, and I'd gotten a quadruple, and it was the freshest and best sports game experience I had had in years, and I want that in my other sports game, so I'm going to try it in Madden.
I have a baseball game for you to try out, by the way, Kat, just so you know.
Yes, I've heard of it. I think it's called Out of the Park Baseball, a game that you work on.
That is correct. Just saying, there's a lot of that emotion, a lot of the payoff for doing things like that in Out of the Park Baseball. I'll stop the shameless commercial now. My apologies. But I just had to say it.
I wish I were more of a baseball fan. You're not wrong. Put it on my iPad because...
I can do that.
The nice thing about Football Manager is that it's on my iPad.
Yes,
and
I can do that.
Out of the Park is on my computer.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
I can take care of that for you.
Interesting.
No problem. So what other – so we've been talking about FIFA. I've been playing FIFA, and I've been loving FIFA, by the way. Like I'm still firmly entrenched in the foundational statement that – in 2018, Pro Evolution Soccer is a better playing soccer game than FIFA. However, I am also very happy to say that I love playing FIFA. Like, FIFA's great. Pro Evo feels better and is a better playing game. But I have been playing a lot more FIFA in the last few months, thanks to all the leagues we've been talking about. And I have sort of learned how to do some things. I'm not good at it. I can't beat you guys. But I can... I am playing FIFA probably at the highest level I've ever played a FIFA game, which is saying something, right? And so is it me or is the game better than it was a couple of years ago?
No, it's not. In fact, it's worse.
Really?
Because, yes, FIFA 17 and FIFA 18 haven't been great. FIFA 18 launched well, but then it got worse through the patches, which is interesting. It has a lot of very annoying problems. People were talking about things like the kickoff glitch, which ostensibly finally got fixed. The shooting is a pain in the butt. Things tend to get very grindy and annoying in the midfield. I played FIFA 19 at E3, and it was almost like like the blinders were lifted from my eyes.
Wow,
so man.
You're saying FIFA 19
so much better.
Is better than FIFA 18? That's what you're saying?
I would say substantially better than FIFA 18. Not just better. A substantial step up. Play is totally differently. The tactics have been changed. So you know how in FIFA 18 you have that tactics screen that I know that you use, Rich?
You are 100% correct. I know it's a screen and I don't use it.
Well, I use it because I want to have the edge. And it works because the tactics screen, in fact, changes so much about how the game is played. You really need, if you want to play FIFA at the next level, you have to know how to use the instructions and the tactics screen.
So
FIFA 19, but it's always been buried. It's always been buried in a screen that it makes it completely inaccessible. Like you look at all these sliders and you're like, what the hell? But in FIFA 19, it's actually accessible. Like they dramatically pared back all of the different sliders. They've surfaced it in a way that actually kind of makes sense. And I feel like I'm tactically deciding how to use my players. Fatigue is a much bigger thing in FIFA 19. Like if you decide to do a high pace, high pressing kind of game like you might have in FIFA 18,
Liverpool,
your players will get wiped immediately. And so you got to be very careful. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is really interesting. I wonder how this is going to turn out. It could be a complete disaster. Or it could be great, but I really like what they're doing with it. So far, it seems like you can do a lot on the wings versus in this game, like even more so than usual. But then again, I'm watching a lot of World Cup, and it feels like everybody's doing things on the wings. So there you go, right? And the shooting's different, too. And I think the shooting is better for the most part. And I think having the Champions League license adds a lot, actually. I'm really glad that they were able to get that. Sorry, Pez.
But I don't care.
The Champions League license is going home.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have no problem. As a Pez fan and a defender to the end, I don't care about the Champions League. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't take away from the game. I mean, with no leagues.
Well, I mean,
leagues,
as an Everton fan, what would you know about Champions League?
Hey, look, I just actually got booted from the Champions League in the second year of my Everton Pro Evo career. I made it to the Champions League semifinals, and I was convinced, Kat, that I was going to win the treble. I've got the Premier League won by 20 points, and I'm still alive in the FA Cup. I think I have the final in the FA Cup when I'm at the very end, but I got booted by Chelsea in the semifinals. I got cocky, and they actually won 2-1 in the opening leg.
Got cocky, Rich.
Yep. They won 2-1 in the opening leg, and then we tied them 1-1 in the second leg, and that was it. So I know the Champions League, the virtual Champions League anyway, and I watched the Liverpool Real Madrid match where Salah got taken out, and that was brutal. So, yeah, that was ugly.
Sergio Ramos.
That wasn't very nice of him. I'm not an aficionado, but that seemed pretty intentful to me. I don't know. So anyway, you're talking about tactics and fatigue. So in FIFA, here's the thing. I don't even know what tactics would be. And before you tell me, because I want you to tell me what they should be, I know what I like to do. What I like to do is, generally speaking, when I'm on defense, take one of the center guys and drop them back deep and then cause a turnover and then take that turnover deep in my zone and then try to through ball it off to the side or through the middle and get somebody breaking in on an attack. And try to get a goal. That's what I like to do. Are there tactics that would help me do that even better? Because I don't even know what the tactics would do.
Well, in FIFA 18, the tactics screen is basically, often you end up turning up the passing and the pace a lot. And you're like playing at a much higher speed than the default. If you go into the tactics screen, you actually look at it, it's often kind of shocking. And there is an immediate noticeable difference at how much more aggressive your team is. The trick is finding the balance of not getting so aggressive that you end up leaving yourself totally open. Also, never turn on offside trap. That is a bad decision to be made.
Okay.
Yeah, forgive me. I don't remember the exact the exact tactic screen in FIFA 19. I played a whole bunch of games when I was playing at E3. I fiddled around a lot. I wrote an article about it, actually, for US Gamer, which is my day job, and you should go check that out, in which I talked about FIFA 19's tactic screen and the different additions that were made to it that I found interesting. But the upshot of all of it is I think that the tactic screen is a lot more transparent now, and just on multiple levels makes a lot more sense. Will that translate into how FIFA plays when it comes out? I have no idea. Because I can't read the future, and even if it does translate like that, it could be undone in a moment through a patch. But what I saw at E3, I really liked.
Well, that's good. That's good. I mean, Kat, and I don't say this like jokingly. I mean this completely. I think that you're probably, well, not probably. You're absolutely within the top three most influential major media people when it comes to sports video games, because you, as the editor-in-chief of US Gamer, you dictate what that site covers, and you do more in-depth sports game analysis than anybody does. I mean, obviously, at Polygon, you've got Owen and Submit. They're, you know, the sports guys over there. I don't think they're... I mean, Matt Cato, obviously, from Game Informer, is very sports-focused. He's great, a good friend of the show. And there's others, but, I mean, you're at the top of the list. So for you to say that means something, and as a avid player of FIFA who's playing a game that you say is terrible and I think is fun, but like I also
I'm
have
not saying it's terrible. I'm not saying it's terrible,
and I didn't mean it like that.
I'm saying I think it just has a lot of issues.
Right, I'm being a little hyperbolic, but what I'm saying is that makes me actually very, very excited. I'm going to get FIFA day one. I'm going to get Pro Evo day one. But what I was saying to I think Brian last week was, I think a listener question. We got a bunch of them, by the way, to get to. A listener question was something on the lines of, you know, what would it take for you to get really excited about a sports video game? And I'm excited about all of them. I'm going to play them, but to really sort of, you know, get really jacked up for something, as opposed to just, okay, the new game is here. And I was saying some sort of a leap in gameplay that we sort of wouldn't have seen coming, which I don't know if is even possible in an annual license. But to me, man, if FIFA, if that's really significantly better next year, I don't know if that'll be hard to not play, because I'm enjoying it now. But I also want to talk about...
At a minimum, it's different. It feels very different than past years. It feels very different than the last couple of years.
That's good. That's high praise. I'm excited. And speaking of high praise, and I was talking about this on the show last week as well, you came away, and Matt Cato did as well, very big on NHL. And I know I got a couple of tweets about it, so we'll just get right into it. But you know, again, I think you said, I'm pretty sure you said that NHL was your favorite game coming out of E3. So I want to hear, you know, why that is. I mean, you wrote about it, obviously, on US Gamer. But now, you know, a couple weeks out, sort of, you know, are you still feeling that way? What's sort of sticking with you? And as, again, someone who got back into NHL this year, in part because the Devils were good again, but also just in part because, you know, when you take a couple years off from a game, it sort of makes it a little easier to get back into it, as opposed to if you've been playing it year after year. So what's got you most excited now about NHL?
Well, first of all, I find that I opened up a little bit of a can of worms with NHL.
Oh, no.
Because I think the NHL people retweeted my article, and because the US Gamer feed suddenly got flooded with NHL fans who were all very mad.
Oh, no.
And they were like, hashtag... fire these people. I'm real mad. What? Where's my frostbite? The gameplay is completely out of dated.
No.
I hate this. I hate that. Well, it's okay. Only about Hockey Ultimate Team. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, whoa. They're like, Kat is being paid off by EA. Confirmed.
Oh, boy.
I'm just like, whoa. Okay. Guys. So I'm not going to deny that it's been an up and down generation for NHL. And as recently as a couple of years ago, I was killing it. I was not happy. But last year, I was extremely happy with the improvements that they made to career mode. I thought franchise mode is I think franchise mode in NHL is the best that you're going to get out of an EA Sports sim right now. And maybe that's damning with faint praise because, I mean, Madden has made some leaps, but it's very sterile and it's missing a lot of things. And FIFA has tried some things, but it's still not that different from what it was in 2014. It's kind of second to me from NBA 2K at this point, which is kind of actually saying something. So I just the fact that you could have expansion teams and custom teams and the ability I could create a, what was it? I think I was calling it the Lake Hennepin Derby or something like that, you know, where I was having the Minnesota Wild versus the Minnesota North Stars in my career mode. That's amazing. That's amazing. And the that alone was like, okay, NHL franchise mode has taken a step up and I'm very happy. And I'm a franchise person and I tend to be more biased about it than most, but whatever. And then combine that with EA SHL, which is historically very good to great. I think that it is maybe the only EA sports franchise to truly nail team play. NBA Live's getting there. It's working on it. But I think NHL is the king of that. That's a great 1-2 punch in terms of modes. The only thing that was missing, I would say, is the gameplay because I don't know. It felt too easy to exploit. People would play me the same way every single time, and I got really sick of it when I was playing online, where they always seemed to know the exact way to exploit the defense to be able to get in and score. And they would always do the little dangly thing, getting around my goalie, and it got kind of boring, to be honest, in terms of how the actual game is playing. So when I'm looking at NHL and I'm being told that the physics have been totally redone, the animation's been totally redone, and it does feel different, that's very exciting because this is a very important update to the gameplay. They needed to fix the skating. They needed to fix the momentum. They needed to fix the physics. That was bedrock stuff that needed to be addressed post-haste. Where other sports sims like Madden especially, have built from the ground up, where they've established a foundation of pretty solid gameplay, and Madden fans, on my case, it is good, okay? You might have niggling complaints about this or that, but by and large, it is so far beyond what it was 4 years ago, it's not even funny, okay? Whereas NHL, honestly, does not feel that much better than it was 4 years ago when it launched in the generation. It had one of the world's disastrous launches of this generation. So to see them finally, really, truly, in a bedrock level, addressing the gameplay is very important, I think. They've addressed the deking, and they've added a lot of smaller things. And my apologies to developers. Yeah, small thing to add this or that. But from the perspective of the end user, the player, it feels small. Where it's like, oh, now I can bank the puck off the board. Cool. But the skating hasn't been fixed. Well, if they fix that, all of a sudden NHL is very exciting to me. Like if it plays differently, it feels good. And it's on top of these like excellent modes. Great. Yeah, I think it is my sports game coming out of E3.
Nice. And so one of the questions we have is from Tony G, hacker alias Super Pump Zombie on Twitter. He says, is RPM in NHL 19 going to make a big difference? It sounds like your answer to that is a resounding yes.
Yes, I think so. Everything from the way that the players skate and stop and move and turn, just the act of skating feels much better. And also the hits. The hits feel much better now. The hits in NHL have been hot and cold, right? I mean, you have either like I'm kind of tapping you and then you're losing the puck, or I'm ramming you into the wall, right? And it feels like there's a little more nuance. It feels more real. And people are like going, well, I really want Frostbite. I want Frostbite in NHL. And I'm like, be careful what you wish for, my friends, because
I don't even know what that really means. You know, like honestly,
Frostbite is,
I know
it's
what
an
it
engine.
Is. Right. I know what it is. But like as an end consumer, why should I care what the engine is? I should just care how the game plays. Right. Like to me, it's because almost like they shot themselves in the foot, pumping up their own messaging around an engine and making, you know, people who play games that don't get that feel lesser, when in reality, to me, I don't think that should even matter.
You're not wrong. But to the fans, Frostbite equals better graphics. And that's not necessarily true. I mean, FIFA looked better after it went to Frostbite. It definitely got a pretty substantial graphical bump. I think Madden was more or less, I mean, it's not that much better from what it was. So Madden 18 wasn't that much better from what Madden 17 was. It was better, but not that much better. Frostbite, you could see the Frostbite difference, but it wasn't enormous. But Frostbite also brings a lot of challenges in terms of the way the players interact, in the terms of, and especially the way the players interact. And that has especially been the case in FIFA. And it's been seemingly kind of hard to optimize, and it's brought a lot of challenges. FIFA still hasn't quite figured out how to make their game kind of not choppy. And I would be concerned that NHL would have the similar problems. So, I mean, yeah, NHL, from a graphical standpoint, has definitely been the ugliest. My apologies to the NHL developers. It's definitely been the lowest out of all of the current-gen sports games. But I don't necessarily know that going over to Frostbite is the answer. So, but, Rich, can I quickly talk about their new thing, the NHL, I mean, there's like a pro-am, forgive me, I don't remember the exact name, but you sure are outside with customizable clothing and such.
That's great, right? I mean, aren't people going to enjoy doing that? I'm not, but I'm sure other people.
People were complaining about that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't understand. Because it's what NBA does. NBA 2K already does that. And NHL is pretty clearly following in their footsteps in having customizable characters. And you're going into, yes, I remember it's called the World of Chell.
Now, I know you don't like it because I read what you had to say about it. And you mentioned like three different times. You're like, look, I can't get past this name. I'm sorry. And as a Portal 2 fan, and Portal 2 fan, Chell, you don't need that. Chell, we all know who Chell is. She's the greatest, one of the greatest video game characters of all time. You don't need another Chell, right? Come on.
I don't care, to be honest. But the World of Chell, I do like the idea of kind of a more casual mode where you're taking on challenges and you're advancing your character and you're getting, you're unlocking clothing. And apparently there's no loot boxes. There's no microtransactions, which actually kind of surprises me because it feels like a slam dunk. I think EA is feeling extremely, extremely gun shy after Battlefront. But yeah, I think the thing that I like about it the most is how lively it makes NHL feel in comparison to FIFA and Madden. If there's one thing that has always kind of frustrated me about EA, it's how sterile their sports sims are. And Madden and FIFA, I don't know, like there's just kind of, they just feel lifeless in a way that NBA 2K does not. I have plenty of problems with NBA 2K. Huge problems, in fact, especially, and it all comes down to microtransactions. But if there's one thing that NBA 2K does really well, is that it feels alive. It captures the essence of the sport and the life of the sport. And what it's like to be in the sport and to be an athlete in the sport. And to see NHL actually have some fun and have customizable characters and everything, that's great. And I'm excited about it. And even if World of Chell is a disappointment, kind of like Threes, I don't think Threes was actually that good. Sorry, NHL people. I didn't think Threes was that good. But even if World of Chell ends up being a disappointment, I mean, the core modes are still good. Franchise mode's still good. The ASHL is still good. And if they get the gameplay on the level, I mean, I think there's a lot of reason to be excited for NHL this year.
Nice. Staying on that, another question from our good friend Gamer Goalie, Holy Goalie, says, tell me more about the NHL 19 Legends. Can you play as one or have them on? Can you play as one or have them on your team in single player? I know you can get them in single player, not just in Ultimate Team, which I think was a big announcement for him this year.
Yeah, they're free. The Legends are actually available in franchise mode now. So you can do what you can do in MLB The Show, which is you can build a custom roster. So, for example, if I wanted to put Wayne Gretzky on the Minnesota Wild, I could. That's awesome. I love that dream team aspect. And especially if you're a fan of a team that has actual legends. The Wild don't have legends. But I don't know if you're a Philadelphia Flyers fan or a... insert team here that has actual legends fan.
New Jersey Devils. Scott Stevens, Martin Brodeur, Scott Niedermeyer. I can keep going, you know, that's where I would start.
St. Louis Blues. You can relive the glory days of Wayne Gretzky being on the St. Louis Blues. I had a lot of fun in MLB The Show. Like, there was a point where I was really bored with MLB The Show, so I just decided to put every legend who was even peripherally connected to the Twins onto one roster. I was like, Harmon Killebrew, come on down. Bert Blyleven, come on in. Come on in, Jack Morris. Yeah, you know what you're going to do. And I had a blast, right? So I am really excited that this is a thing. And unfortunately, they're not doing it in Madden. And I'm like, why is this not a thing in Madden? And is it a licensing thing? And they're like, it's not a licensing thing. And I said, okay. But they're not going to say anything more. But man, I really wish that I could build. If there's one thing that frustrates me about Madden is that in Ultimate Team, you'll have guys like Randy Moss and Chris Carter and Dante Culpepper as a Vikings fan locked behind Ultimate Team. And I'm like, all I want is to put them into my franchise mode. And I know that I'm putting too much emphasis on franchise mode, but all I want to do is put them on my franchise mode and have fun and have a dream team. I want as much customization as humanly possible. And this is just me, but I really like that NHL is giving that to me.
By the way, did I mention Out of the Park Baseball for customization? No, I'm sorry. That's terrible. The guy's got to stop. Got to stop. All right.
You're really selling me on Out of the Park Baseball, Rich. I'm feeling sold right now.
I like that. I just want to mention this. Our good friend D. Charles, who's been a listener for many years, says, Cat has some of my favorite insight on sports gaming. This is going to be a good episode. You are absolutely correct, sir. All right, so another question. This one comes from Nick Mortel. He says, how does Cat feel? You've talked about this a little bit, but sort of make sure that you get your full statement out there. How do you feel about Madden 19 so far?
Based on what I played at E3, because I can't talk about the closed beta, when I picked it up at E3, the first thing I thought was, well, this sure looks a lot like it did last year, which is perhaps completely unfair, but... I don't know, just from a presentation standpoint, from the way the stadiums look and everything, it had a lot of similarities last year. I've seen some videos that are here's some side-by-side comparisons, and you can definitely see the improvements to the way the lighting and everything is. That's great. I think the main difference is definitely in the way that the players move. You have that real player motion, which is also going to be in NHL, is being applied to Madden. It was in FIFA last year, I think. And it kind of governs how the players move, how they interact with other players, how they hold down, that kind of thing. And it definitely feels more fluid. I have to play more to see how I feel about it long term. But as I thought about it more and more, I liked it for the most part. There's some interesting new running moves that you can do in terms of navigating the offensive line. But I think the defensive line has been beefed up a bit. So you have to really use those moves if you want your running game to really do some serious damage. When I was having a hard time getting the running game going, unless I used the specific moves, and I don't remember what those new moves are off the top of my head, but there are two new moves. One is for the running backs, and it kind of governs how they juke, and there's one for the power backs. And the impression that I got talking to Clint Oldenburg, who's the gameplay lead, is that they want you to be running between the tackles to be much more of a thing than it has been in the past. Like last year, definitely outside runs and that kind of thing were more powerful. I don't think that running between the tackles is weak per se, but it's definitely going to be stronger this year. In terms of the actual passing game and everything, there have been updates to the AI. Ostensibly, the zone coverage is stronger, but it's hard to get a feel how that is going to interact in long term. I feel like a lot of the same things that I've used in the past generally still work for the most part. I think the pass rush is getting in a little faster than it has been before, I want to say. But yeah, I mean, I think this is all a long way of saying that it doesn't feel that different so far. But the play calling on the EAI is better. So, yeah. Madden 19, I came out of it going, okay, I loved NHL 19. I thought FIFA 19 was really intriguing. Madden, I feel like still has some stuff to prove to me. And I'm looking forward to playing it in a more developed state and also spending a lot more time with it. But so far, like with FIFA, I'm like, oh, you improved the tactics. That's really interesting. And you got the Champions League licensing. Cool. With NHL, it's like, oh, I think real player motion can make a huge difference. And to the skating, which has been horribly outdated. And, oh, I really like the introduction of World of Chell, believe it or not. And I also really like the other things that you're doing, like even little things like the ability to put legendary carrot players in your franchise mode. So far for Madden, I think the most interesting change is that it's on PC now. And I don't mean to denigrate it. I feel like I came out of E3 less excited about Madden than I was for the rest of the sports slate.
Unfortunate, but as you know, a lot can happen. And not only at release, but then afterwards.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, you know, is probably
I'm not writing off Madden. Not by any stretch of the imagination. I said that I really liked Madden last year. And I thought that Madden had grown by leaps and bounds over the years. Now, maybe this is just conjecture. Okay, I'm not even gonna speculate because it's bad journalism, so I'm not gonna do it. But okay. Move on. Let's move on.
This one, we got a couple of FIFA questions. Carl Ward, great friend of the show, says, even though the update to FIFA 18 was great, can't help but feel with such a wonderful tournament missing a true standalone game for the World Cup is a lost opportunity. I flipped. I originally thought it was a sort of a whiff that they did not release a standalone World Cup game, they being EA, as they had done for every other World Cup in the last, you know, at least four or five. And then what was also interesting was they didn't even announce what they wound up doing, which was the free DLC, until much, much later than they had ever announced and released the World Cup games in the past. So we didn't think there was anything coming. Turns out, looking back, I was flipping through the Wall Street Journal last week, and there was like a third or fourth page article about it. And EA has generated tremendous amounts of revenue with the free DLC kit. The free DLC, World Cup stuff. So from a business perspective, they clearly made the right decision. Whether or not they could have made more with the standalone game, who knows? But I don't know. To me, it's not a missed opportunity so much as it's just sort of a realizing how to deliver content in 2018 and how to optimize the revenue stream. I'm wondering, curious what you think.
I think that the concept of releasing a what is essentially DLC as a standalone title is very outdated. And I say this knowing that 2010 FIFA World Cup might be the best FIFA game ever released. And I think it's sad a little. It's a little sad in the sense of the World Cup games are often good because they build on what they've learned over the course of the year to make a really outstanding. And they want to provide as much value as humanly possible when they're releasing it. So they're like, okay, like let's like really pack in as much content as possible. But I think that is a free DLC update. 2018 FIFA World Cup is really good. It certainly got me playing again.
And it's not in the vault either. So probably sold some additional full copies that would not have otherwise.
I'm sure that was the intent. But but we're long past the days where more and more people, like the idea of buying a $60 game is becoming just outdated, right? Where people are buying DLC, people are buying cheaper games, people are used to games like Fortnite. Even compared to 4 years ago, the middle tier of games has strongly, the bottom has completely dropped out of it. People are talking about whether or not sports games in general are going to continue on with the $60 annual annualized kind of model.
For as long as there are licensed leagues, I guarantee it. The fact that it needs to be licensed with the leagues is what will make that to continue. Otherwise, they won't exist, I don't think.
Yeah, and yet, one thing that I heard during E3 was the word modular, as in breaking apart these games, which are really multiple games in one, into different parts. And I'm like, they're clearly thinking about the future. I'm just gonna say that. Like, we are rapidly reaching a point where a retail game is, the very concept of a retail game is almost outdated.
Totally agree with that. And totally agree with that.
So mid-tier games are all but dead. Like, when I say mid-tier games, like, once upon a time, these would be the games that were released for full price, but they were very much a AA type game. And as much as I liked it, 2010 FIFA World Cup very much fell into that category. 2014 World Cup, people forget, was on the only available on the previous generation. The current generation had launched, but it was only available on the 360 and the PS3. And because they knew that there was enough of an install base to be able to get it, it was only available as downloadable content on the PS4 and Xbox One. And so I'm not surprised that it's gone entirely. Am I sad that like you can't go through qualifying? Yeah, I guess. But at the end of the day, I don't think I miss it that much.
Agreed. And I just, as a consumer, right, as somebody who bought FIFA, and I have gotten so much value out of this. And the fact that I probably would have paid $10 or $20. I don't know that I would have. It depends. But the fact that I didn't have to pay anything for it just showed up was great. So I'm a fan.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they got on the Switch version too.
Yeah.
In fact, I've been really happy with the way that they've been supporting the Switch version. I'm glad that they're making meaningful updates to it.
Well, that ties directly into the next question from another good friend of the show, the JBone29, Jason Overfelt. He says, I need a deep dive on improvements on FIFA 19 for the Switch compared to 18. Help me out, Catbot.
Okay, man. So this is off the top of my head, but they've made major improvements to the presentation, because before the presentation wasn't super great. Presentation is much more in line with what the current FIFA is. The actual gameplay is still roughly in line with what, say, FIFA 17 or FIFA 16 would have been. It's better than that, I think. But what I'm saying is, for example, they don't have the new tactic screen that you're going to find on the PS4 and the Xbox One version. Definitely feels better and definitely looks better than last year's Switch version, which definitely heartens me. And it heartened me for and it very much heartened me that the 2018 FIFA World Cup DLC made its way to the Switch version. As opposed, like, I keep thinking about the Vita version. Do you remember the Vita version of FIFA?
Do I? I played it a ton. You know why it's one of my all-time favorite FIFA games? It's because of the back touch. You could aim your shots. It was a unique
feature.
Oh, my
God. You actually liked that?
I loved it.
Wow.
Loved it because I could finally go top corner. I've never been able to go top corner in FIFA. I can't do it. I could do it on the Vita. Loved it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the only person who likes that rear touchscreen thing. But after that, they just basically abandoned it and just did straight roster updates. So I'm really glad to see that, 2018, that FIFA 19 is getting first of all, that it exists and is coming out on the Switch, but also that it's getting support. So if you want more details, I suggest that you go check out my article on US Gamer.
Excellent. This one from our good friend Snaggle J, Associate Community Manager for Out of the Park Development, says, yes, first-time caller, long-time listener, our good friend Chris Jardine. With what you know right now, if you could only buy Madden or NHL 19, which would it be and why? Also, Press Row Podcast needs more Canadian content. Hey, listen, Chris, I asked you to come on the show a few weeks ago, and, you know, you had other stuff to do. So, you know, I'm trying out there, man. So, anyway, back to the real question. With what you know right now, if you could only buy Madden or NHL 19, what would it be and why?
NHL 19, final answer. Mostly because I like hockey, right? I like hockey. I am just a hockey fan. I love hockey. I wish my hockey team were not bad. But I really like the improvements that I was shown at E3. I, in general, like the franchise mode a lot. I am intrigued by World of Chell. It feels like they're packing a lot of value into this one. And this might be the leap that we've been waiting for from NHL. No, it's not the Frostbite engine, but I think it has a lot of value elsewhere. So I am excited.
The Minnesota Wild are not bad. You made the playoffs last year. That's not bad. Bad is not
they're
playoffs.
Very mediocre.
Okay.
But name me an NBA team that can make to the first round of the playoffs and not get out of it and has literally no chance of winning the NBA finals. Oh, the Minnesota Timberwolves. There you go. They're the Minnesota Timberwolves of the NHL, only slightly better.
I'm trying to stick up. Bad is rough. That's all I'm saying.
They're not bad. They're just average.
Which
very average.
Sometimes can feel worse. Like there's bad where you got all young kids and they're learning how to play and you're like, okay, I see what's going on. Or there's bad New York Mets bad where you're old and you're broken down and you're run by a group of people who don't understand that it's 2018, not 1998. But I digress.
The Wild are stuck firmly in that horrible mediocre middle.
Yeah.
Where you're like, yeah, I mean, they have a shot at winning most nights, have some stirring moments in the regular season, and then they'll get to the playoffs and be totally outmatched by teams that are actually contenders.
Well, especially you lost your two top guys in the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, if your top two players can't play, that's hard on anybody, you know?
The thing that really stung was Vegas had Eric Haula, who was a third-line, fourth-line hero for the Wild. And he scored like 30 goals for the Golden Knights. And they got this other guy named Tuck. And he was an up-and-coming rookie. And we had traded him as a throw-in specifically to keep Matt Dumba, our future star defenseman, we hope. And Tuck and Haula were like the friggin' backbone of a team that made the Stanley Cup Finals. And yeah, they lost, but those two guys were awesome. And I'm just like, what the? I don't know who I'm angrier at, the Minnesota Wild or the NHL for having this useless expansion. If I could erase the Golden Knights from history, I totally would. I don't care how fun they are. I don't care that they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. The fact that they are sapping talent from my team drives me friggin' crazy. Okay, that's all I got to say about that.
That was quality. That was good. That was good stuff. All right, another good friend, Mark Foley, Rain City Gamers, joins me on the Dodcast regularly. With all the big sports games coming, where do you think the Golf Club 2019 fits? And do you think that it will step into the mainstream now that it has the PGA license?
I think having the PGA license will help. I think the Golf Club has been fairly obscure outside of sports fans and golf fans. But I think there are a market for golf fans that has been dramatically underserved. And if they make enough of a push, they have a chance to make a bit of a difference. I will say that I don't know if it's going to be overnight. I don't think that having a license is an immediate cure-all. But over time, if they market heavily and lean on the fact that they have the license, they will get the attention of golf fans who are starved for a new game. Also, they should put it on Switch.
Mark is a really good player. He plays in a very, very select online league where they have tournaments like every week and majors and things like that. And you have to make the cut and you go up he is really, really good at it, really into it. And he loves himself some Golf Club. I'm a fan.
This Golf Club is good.
It is good. Right? I'm a fan. I'm absolutely a fan. I have not played nearly as much in recent years as I did when the first game came out. I was just fascinated by how easy it was to have fun with your friends, even when you weren't playing with them live. Just sort of, you'd be playing around, and if that guy played earlier in the day or last week or something like that, you know, you would still compete with your friends, and you'd see him bopping around the course and stuff. And really, you know, it's a very challenging game. Putting is extremely difficult. Like, it's not video game golf, per se. It's much more simulation, and you really need to know what you're doing a lot. It can be incredibly difficult and challenging. And Owen, who's a famous PGA Tour golf fan on consoles, has talked about it a bunch. You know, did not like it. But I'm a fan, but I haven't played enough of it. And I'm definitely going to get the new one with the PGA license. It's only some courses and it's not a ton of stuff, but it adds a lot to have that license. It means a lot, and it's fun to go on what you know is an officially licensed golf course, which you can then watch the real guys play on TV. Like, to me, that's cool. So I'm excited for it. Well, okay, Kat. I think that'll be it. And by the way, you are awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. The great Kat Bailey, one of my favorite people in the world. As I've mentioned, the editor-in-chief of US Gamer. Kat, where can people follow you, find you on the internet? Where would you like them to go to check out what you and your whole team there at US Gamer do?
I'm on Twitter at @_KatBot. My day job is at US Gamer. At the present, we're doing a top 25 RPG countdown where we're, as I said, counting down the top 25 RPGs. We're currently on number 23, and you'll have to find out what number 23 is when this after this episode goes up. So subscribe to Acts of the Blood God, which is our RPG podcast. Let me tell you, sports fans, RPGs, not that different from sports. They are both heavily stats driven. I would dare say that there are RPG sabermetrics. So yes, one is swords and sorcery, one is bats and balls and footballs and soccer balls. But at the end of the day, RPG fans and sports fans have more in common than you think. So please subscribe to my RPG podcast and enjoy.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kat, for joining us. We'll have you on again soon. Madden's coming out in a month. I know you're going to have a lot to say about that.
Oh, my God. It's so close, and like 2 weeks until training camp. I am so ready for training camp. Please get me out of this sports hell. I hate the summer. The summer is like, there's nothing here. And then come the fall, it's like, sports.
Cause yes. Yes.
Soccer and hockey and football all coming into my life. I'm watching constantly. Like today, there was no World Cup.
I'm bad.
Like, I am totally bereft. Nothing to, you know, the only thing I have to look up are like freaking West Ham transfer rumors.
Yeah, not good.
And that's just going to depress me.
No, not good. Not good at all. Just like the Everton transfer. It's just, I don't even go there. There's no reason to go because nothing good is happening.
Nothing good is going to come out of that.
Exactly. No, it's bad because, you know, I obviously, you know, with I'm big into the NHL, right? So when, as you are, obviously, yeah, during the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs, when you got all of that going on every night, there's two or three big matches and games, and they stretch, you know, you get the early games, the late games. And then you go from even during the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals, they're really good with pretty much every night one of those two things is going to be on. When that stops and there's nothing, and I love baseball, but let's face it, July baseball is not the same thing as September and October baseball.
My friend, it is the dog days.
It doesn't have the juice, and my team is terrible anyway, so who cares? Yeah. Just awful.
I think my team has lost like 8 in a row at this point.
The World Cup saved me, thank goodness.
Thank God for the World Cup. Yes. Thank God. Oh my God. Like having an amazing soccer game like every day has just spoiled me.
And you know what else?
Not having World Cup for 2 days in a row, I'm like, I need more World Cup.
Yes.
What do we do? Because I've had my iPad. I got Sling TV. I've had my iPad just sitting next to me while I'm working. Just playing the soccer.
Of course.
Oh, it's been amazing. It's the best. Amazing. I love technology.
And you know what's cool? Is next year is the Women's World Cup. So we get this next year. How great is that? And I'm not.
And America's actually good.
Right. Yay. That's why I'm going to be completely frank here. I don't know anything about women's soccer except that we're really good. And when I watched the last Women's World Cup, it was good soccer. Like it. And I'm not trying to be whatever
I want to marry Megan Rapinoe.
There's a difference.
I want to marry.
She's spoken for. There's a difference between.
That's true. Fair enough. Fair enough.
There's a difference between men's professional basketball and women's professional basketball. They're different games and they look different. They're played differently. And there's definitely a difference between men's professional soccer and women's professional soccer. However.
That's right. Women's professional soccer is better.
Well, I'm not going to say it's better.
I just went there.
It is much less of a, from a visual gap, from like, you know, walking by the TV and standing and watching a game, to me, there's much less of a sort of visual difference per se in how the game is played, you know, until you, like, you know, if you see a Leo Messi in action or Ronaldo in action, I'm not talking about that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I'm having a difficult time saying what I'm trying to say, but it's entertaining, even though I don't follow women's soccer any other time of the year. No offense, it's just not on my list of sports that I pay attention to. But the Women's World Cup is great, and it's next year. So we got this whole thing all over again, and I'm excited about that. Where is the Women's World Cup next year? Do you know?
I have no idea.
But we're good. That's the other thing. We're really good, and it's fun watching us be good. And the Women's World Cup team is always entertaining because by the time it's going on, you know who the players are because they do a good job of marketing the players. At least it seems like it to me. You know who they are. And they've done that historically. I mean, I remember when the women's, back in the 90s, right, with,
1999.
Brandi Chastain and Julie Foudy, right, and Mia Hamm, you knew who those players were. And so I'm a big fan of Team USA, and I'm looking forward to next year's Women's World Cup. I don't know how many countries are in it or how it all works, but it's good. It's good. I like it.
Yeah, it'll be really fun next year, won't it?
Agreed. All right. We are going to let you get out of here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please go follow Kat and go to US Gamer. She has the best mainstream video game media sports coverage, period. That's just the way it is. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.